This is Harold of SomethingThatHappened.com. On February 12th, I attended the Southern California Linux Expo, that's Scale 2005 in Los Angeles, and I recorded the following interview for LQ Radio.
Check this out. Okay, we just walked into the Linux Expo, and what we have before me here is something called FlightGear.org. And what I'm looking at here appears to be a cockpit. It's a flight simulation program or something. I can see a variety of components. Are you affiliated with this organization? Can I ask you a few questions? Are you familiar with podcasts? Well, podcasts are basically internet radio. I record and.
This is the lead person for the project, Kurt Olson. He's like Mr. FlightGear.
Should I be asking him the questions then? Okay, thank you. This is pretty neat setup you have here.
The hardware was built by Jack over here. FlightGear is an open source software project.
Is it a flight simulator?
Yeah, it's free as in beer, free as in speech. You can download
free as in beer.
You could download it from the website directly, but it's included on the SUSE disks, the Red Hat disks. It's packaged for Debian. That's running Debian Woody right now. But Jack built the hardware over the last year, and that's a 747 cockpit simulation, which is obviously eye candy getting people coming over to look at the project.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous. This is fantastic. It looks just like a cockpit of a plane. Any plans on getting this on a Zandros distribution?
Do you know, it might be there, but I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm sure we can get it going on there.
Kurt would be the guy to talk to.
Okay, I'm not representing Zandros. I just, that was the first, that's the distribution of my of choice for me. And it's based on Debian, so I'd probably get it.
It might already be there.
Maybe, possibly. But okay, so this is FlightGear.org.
Yeah.
Okay, do you mind, what is your name?
I'm Patricia Murray.
I'm sorry?
Patricia Murray.
Okay, Patricia, my name is Harold. And
Thank you.
And
I'll do talk to Kurt, because he's been working on this for many, many years, and it's just so improved over the years. It's amazing.
I'll be sure to talk to him. Thanks for talking to me. I'm getting better at this, maybe.
I'm not one of the developers. I'm a retired pilot, so that's how I get in this act. I'm involved from the standpoint of having some idea how the real airplane works, and these guys have got this working very much like the real airplane.
Oh, you've used it. So you,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I help move it in. That's kind of my function here yesterday and today. But
What's your name, sir?
Jim Brennan.
Well, Patricia here was telling me that it's open source. Basically, anyone can download it freely.
Anyone, the FlightGear.org site, you can download it. Both pre-built binaries, which you can put on a Linux machine or a Windows machine or some Macintosh machines, and it'll run that way. Or you can download the source code and modify it if you want to, or just compile it and run it, and that's how that works. So yeah, it's free. It's free in the standpoint of it costs no money. And it's free in the standpoint that it's open source, so anybody can do whatever they want with it except sell it.
Do you find a lot of people customizing it and modifying it to their own ends?
Oh, yeah, just like this. Everything here. This basically, part of this demonstration was to show that the basic flight gear, which is the stuff that's up on the screen there, that's showing the scenery, can be linked to other things. It's got the hooks in it to do all kinds of add-on things. So he has built all of this glass cockpit software. He did the code for that. He built the electrical interfaces for all of the 747 control panels and so forth. And so that just demonstrates that the basic flight gear is very extensible and it's used for a lot of things.
That's not a real 747 control panel, is it?
Actually, part of it is out of a 757, but it looks just like the same thing. I mean, some of those are replica panels, and some of them are actually out of salvaged airplanes.
Wow.
But and the guy with the checkered shirt, he can tell you all about that aspect of it, because he's the one who did it.
And this fellow
is the administrator of the whole FlightGear program, so he can tell you more about FlightGear than I can.
Well, I'll sure to be talking to him. But can I ask you, can you describe to me some of the components that you see from your experience? Do you know what these
sure.
I know nothing about planes. I don't know the first thing.
If you look at looking from left to right, on the far left is the captain's side. And the displays that the captain uses. And the one on the left there is called the primary flight display. In the old days, it was called a gyro horizon. And that's what tells you if you're right side up or not. And it also has a lot of other information on the tapes. The airspeed and the altitude and rate of climb, heading, is all on that display. Those used to be on separate instruments. For example, the little round one on the top, those would be the standby instruments in the real airplane. If the CRTs failed, you'd still have those. You can see it looks very much the same, but that's the way the old ones looked, that were actually driven by gyros.
Oh, I see. The one that's kind of shows up the level?
Yeah, see, it's mirroring what... And the far right is just another copy of the one on the far left. That's what the co-pilot uses.
And this is showing us the landscape and the sky and showing us where we are in reference to that.
Well, the second display, the one with the arc on the top, those are the navigation displays, and they would have all the navigation fixes and show you all that kind of information. So that's what the inner of those is. Then the things in the middle are the engine instruments, the two panels in the middle. Show what the engines and all of the... You can get a lot of other things like the fuel systems and all of the technical details of the airplane are on those displays.
This is incredible.
and that if you look at the real airplane, that looks like it. But this is Curtis Olson. He's the administrator of the program, so he's the one who knows all about everything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate talking to you.
My name is Curtis Olson.
Okay, and your title?
My title, I guess I am the coordinator of the Flight Gear Project. It's not my day job, so I have other titles, but we're all volunteers.
So this is kind of a hobby for you?
It's a hobby, but it's turned into more than a hobby over the years. So, well, Flight Gear is an open source project, so it's grown and developed probably similar to how Linux has grown and developed. We're all volunteers. We pitch in and contribute as we can, and we've just had slow, steady growth over the years of, more development and more contributors and more advancements, and we're finally getting to the point where we have something to show for all our efforts. And
that's for sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. And then, as part of it, you get to meet people with different interests and different abilities, and in this case, we've got Jack here, who's managed to build a whole 747 cockpit out of flight gear and his own some of his own software, and he's built his own hardware and written device drivers, and just it's pretty amazing, actually.
When did the project first initially begin?
We started flight gear in its current form in 1997.
Now all of your passengers.
And have been working hard at it ever since.
It's incredible. I don't know what to make of it.
It's pretty neat to have the whole cockpit laid out with the instruments and gauges in the right places. It makes a big difference over just running a piece of software on your PC when you can start getting the cockpit roughed in and get everything in the right place and get the visuals out the window. And it makes a big difference.
How did you get involved with this?
Well, I came in on the ground floor of the project. I originally flew a couple of the different commercial simulators and for the PC. And at the time, this was around 1996, was pretty dissatisfied with some of the different bugs and limitations that these different packages had. And I thought to myself, why don't I write my own? How hard can it be?
Right.
And turns out pretty hard. But we tried to persevere and take baby steps forward. And
I'll bet you personally put a lot of hours into this, huh?
Oh, yeah. I have not tried to keep track of it either, and I wouldn't want to know.
Yes.
Is that voice control? The flight control? The flight gear is voice control?
Good question.
You should ask Jack about that specifically.
Oh, I thought that was your setup there.
Together on it, but Jack has done some work on speech recognition and voice synthesis.
Okay.
So there's some beginnings to that. It's not all there. It's not perfect. It's not completely operational. But he started to work on that, and it's kind of interesting.
Okay, I played around with Flight Simulator a little bit, so I'm,
How does this stand up to the other ones you've seen?
It's good, because it's huge. I've done it on a PC with the flight, the regular, so this is really nice here, It's Linux.
Yeah, it's all Linux based.
Okay.
And Flight Gear itself is multi-platform, so we have Windows support, we have Mac OS 10 support, SGI, FreeBSD. If you go to our website, flightgear.org, you can download.
John Wanorowski.
I'm sorry.
I go by Jack. The part that I did was the 747 cockpit.
You built the actual setup here that they've been talking about.
The hardware and the software is the setup that I have as a hobby put together. And
my goodness.
And the flight gear itself is, if you will, the driver or the engine that produces the data that the cockpit displays to the pilots.
So you took the software, which was open source in the first place, and you built essentially the hardware component, the shell that I don't know how to describe it, but you placed the icing on the cake.
Actually, it's more than that. I also built the cake.
And you built the cake. Yeah. You contributed.
For example, the flight gear is a separate program. We have basically three machines back there running.
Okay.
One machine is actually running flight gear, which is the open source flight simulator that you see so much about in Linux right. based. The displays for the cockpit are a project called OpenGC that I was involved with a couple of years ago, which has since gone private. But the software that I built has pretty much been superseded by this software here. And what this is, there are basically two more machines. They're both running both Linux machines, running Debian, actually the old version of Woody.
Woody, okay.
Woody, and they are running the displays. It's OpenGL software, a lot of graphics, and they actually build the displays, create the displays themselves, the cockpit displays that the pilots see to get information on how the aircraft is performing and flying. Now, on top of that, you have the hardware for the cockpit, and in that you have the throttles, the speed brake, the spoilers, you have the engine controls, you have all the information you see on top of the glare shield there, which is the autopilots and the flight management computers that are part of the 747 complex. Now, I had to build the electronics, which is a circuit board that I built, to actually run that part of the simulation and then talk to my cockpit software, which in turn then talked to the flight gear software. On top of that, we have the throttles and a lot of the analog devices, which are basically running into potentiometers, which then basically get fed into a circuit board I also designed that converts that into a digital signal. And then that gets fed into the cockpit software, if you will, the GC software, which then converts that into a throttle command, a flap command, or some other command that goes over to the flight control. And that, in turn, then makes the adjustments to the flight models and makes the airplane react accordingly.
This is an impressive project here.
It's a simulator. Basically, it's a simulator. What it really is, it's a flight simulator. Most people might see it as a game or some kind of a video arcade, and it can be that too if you want to, but in my aspect, my object was to make a flight simulator.
To simulate as realistically as possible.
As much as my budget can afford.
Do we want to talk about how much this costs, or do we want to stay away from that area?
It depends on what you want to spend in terms of dollars and how much you want to get in terms of fidelity in both in terms of the visual, the look and feel of your system. As you can see, obviously, it's made out of wood. There are some metal components to it. There are some very realistic-looking panels. Those panels came off of actual aircraft. Surplus airplane. You can see the throttles and some of the other stuff is kind of like a homebrew. Nice thing about that, I have a neighbor who was a machinist at Northrop Aircraft, and he's been helping me with some of the mechanical metal work.
That's a nice friend to have.
He's a very, very nice gentleman, and he has a nice large machine workshop. So I'm thinking about whether I actually have to go out and buy surplus equipment or build my own. So I'm still trying to make up my mind on that. And how much time Frank wants to spend with me.
Which actually brings to mind a question I've had ever since I came over here. I wonder how much time this took. I've heard Curtis here was saying he's been working on it since 98 or 97, I believe. How long have you been working on this?
I got involved with Curtis about 4 years ago, maybe 3.5 years ago, when he basically posed a question on their website or their email postings about, is anybody building glass cockpits?
And you were.
And actually, I wasn't. But I says, well, I'll take a look at that and see what it involves. At that time, they wanted to basically take the glass cockpits you see down there and put them into a single monitor. The difficulty you have with that is you simply lose the resolution. There aren't enough pixels, and they're way too small to make any kind of meaningful display. Obviously, you see these are 8-inch displays, and they used trying to reduce that down to you know, a 4-inch square on a monitor would be ridiculous. And so it really didn't work. So my objective was to build it as a network system to run the display separately. Excuse me. You got to put the gear down. The gear is up. You have to put the gear down.
We can walk right over there and coach this guy. Hi there. I hope you don't mind me having a microphone in you.
Whatever.
We're going to watch this gentleman using the flight simulator that Jack was talking to me about.
Well, get started.
Yeah. We'll get your gear down. You fly?
Yeah.
All right. I'll leave you on your own then, pretty much. I'm getting a reset here. No.
It appears he's in the air, or he's about to be in the air.
Right
now he's on a blue screen. Well, not the blue screen. You.
38 at San Francisco.
So he's in San Francisco at which airport?
I don't know. It's one of the gates there. We'll call it gate 38. I don't know.
Thanks for your time, Jack.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Take care.
And that does it for this interview for LQ Radio. My name is Harold J. Johnson, and you can hear my audio narratives at somethingthathappened.com.